The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
That drum.
Kind of drumbeat.
Yeah, that real big, like, deep drumbeat. Right.
This is like, by far the best primetime music.
Of course it is. Hello, everybody. Welcome to week 11 of the NFL season. As always, we'll run through the scores, then go through the games. Starting at the top, the Friday game for us was the Pats. Like, demoralizing is probably the best way to put it. The Falcons 25-0.
Embarrassing. That's... just there's all sorts of adjectives to describe what Atlanta put up.
I mean, the next game is pretty embarrassing too, but the Colts smashed the Bills 41-15. The Ravens beat the Bears 16-13. The Browns beat the Lions 13-10. The Texans beat the Titans. Yes, that's exactly right. The Texans beat the Titans 22-13.
The Texans beat the Titans. The thing I said last week, I might have been talking here. I really don't like what the Titans are dishing up at the moment. I really don't.
No, and, you know, injuries as well is derailing them as well. But we'll get into that later. The Vikings beat the Packs 34-31, which you did say you liked the Vikings. So you were thinking of
that. I did.
You'd say that. You did last week.
Yeah, I did. I thought that was it. Yeah, that was major. I don't know why. Major upset alert for Minnesota. I don't know why. Like, divisional opponent, I guess. Yeah, that was a. I just, not all 5-5 teams were created equal. And I think, I think Minnesota, I don't know. They're a really hard team to sort of read, I guess, at the moment.
Dolphins winning their third straight game over the Jets. Well, third straight game in general, but they beat the Jets 24-17. Eagles, look, really beat your team pretty well, 40-29. Washington, yeah,
pretty badly. Like, that's a very flattering score.
It is a very flattering score.
Yeah, it's very, very, very flattering score. Well, the
22
Saints,
points in the fourth quarter, and
no, that's all the Saints are the high scoring team in the NFL in the fourth quarter. It's just that they have to get behind, three plus touchdowns to be able to spark some offense. Like, it's unbelievable.
Washington football team beat the Panthers 27-21. The San Francisco 49ers beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 30-10. The Bengals beat the Raiders 32-13. The Chiefs beat, we both lost this week, beat my Cowboys 19-9. The Cardinals.
No touchdowns for the highest scoring, explosive offense in the league at the moment.
Not one.
Kansas City's back.
Yeah, I did say that last week. I know, of course they are. Of course they are.
They're back. That is huge trouble for the rest of the league, and especially for the AFC.
For the AFC, but I don't know. The NFC, you got the Cards still winning, even with Colt McCoy over the Seahawks 23-13. The Chargers beat the Steelers 41-37, and then the Tuesday game was the Bucks beating the Giants 30-10.
Oh boy, I've got a lot of stuff for the New York Giants. Good God.
After this week, I'll put this out before we get into the games. After this week's round of games, any MVP standouts for you? Just throwing that out there, the name.
There's only one at the moment though, right? And he plays in, plays down in, Western Florida, and it's unbelievable what he's doing.
Yeah, it has to be at the moment, and it's not guaranteed. It's not like it has been in previous years, but I think Tom Brady for me as well at the moment is the quintessential MVP, which would be ridiculous if that's the case. Like his age, like everything, how many seasons he's been, you know, the whole. Yeah, it'll be ridiculous.
A 44-year-old MVP, and he's still slinging it. He's still got good accuracy. He's still got good arm strength. Like that was
ridiculous. So it wouldn't surprise me even if like a running back. This is
one of the most topsy turvy seasons of a that I can remember. And anybody, you know, you hate the cliche. Oh, you know, anybody can turn up and win on their day. But that's just what's happening this year.
Yeah.
Like if you're just 10% off your game, you'll get rolled.
Unless you're the Falcons, that
unless you're the Falcons, then
when you come up against just a nasty defense in the Pats, a very stable defense, and that was they just shut them down. They really did. They were just Judon. We keep saying it every time, but Judon just was terrorizing Matt Ryan, like literally from the first snap.
Literally, yeah. Look. the Falcons, while I mean they've got an extremely shining light there in Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh my god, I don't think I hear you say that.
Well, it is. The guy's been in the league for 7 or 8 years. All of a sudden he shines now. Like, get out of here. But he's the go to. He's the absolutely the go to guy. He missed this game, and. Yeah. It shows, like, you know, that they hardly got Kyle Pitts involved in this game. Matt Ryan only threw for 153 yards. Each quarterback that come into the game all threw an interception. And they had three of them.
Right. Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's true.
It's unreal. It was... there's no semblance of run game, you know, that they got... They picked up, you know, two fairly, I think, decent running backs in Mike Davis and Wayne Gorman. Wayne Gorman hasn't been there for most of the year. So,
Mike Davis, for everybody even drafting him, he was going to, you know, if you go off last year,
That's right. You go off how he performed in Christian McCaffrey's absence last year for Carolina.
Everyone drafted him high. Everyone, and yeah, I'm not saying absolutely. Like tier one, tier two, but they drafted him a lot higher than he should have been. But he's proving now probably why we shouldn't have done that. Like that.
It's offensive line. It's scheme. I cringe for the future of Atlanta at the moment, because if they don't sort of get a little bit healthier and a little bit sort of not so much younger, but they need a little bit more, you know, dynamic up front, because I still think Matt Ryan has got something left in the tank. This season will be super demoralizing for him. And look, at 4-6, not out of it. Like the NFC is, you know, at the bottom end. Yeah, at the bottom end of the wild card, they'll be there or thereabouts.
So that I had this written down, and I think you pretty much answered anyway. Like at number four, then this year when they drafted Kyle Pitts, do they still take Kyle Pitts, or do they look at one of the quarterbacks that were available in Mac Jones, Justin Fields?
I mean, it wouldn't matter, because if Mac Jones isn't being protected, well, firstly, Mac Jones wouldn't have been playing. He would have been sitting on the bench.
Yeah, okay.
Matt Ryan would still be getting starts.
But you're. I mean, I still think they would have taken Kyle Pitts no matter what. I think so because he was.
He was there. He was staring him in the face. He was one of the most dynamic offensive players in college before he cut me out, before he was eligible for the draft. So I think that they've done the right thing in that regard. But it's. Yeah, boy, it's looking rather embarrassing there. Look, again, they were rotten again on third down. Like last week, they were 1 for 11 on third down. So a slight improvement this week. They were 2 for 11. So you know, baby steps into getting better. But yeah, they just got they got run out of the gym.
Run out of their own gym.
Exactly. This was a total defensive smorgasbord by the Pats, because while for me, while Mac Jones was very accurate, 22-26 and 2-7,
he's like third in the league, not amongst rookies, third in the league in completion percentage.
He's doing like a typical Pats game, sharing the wealth around, and the defense just lays the platform. So this is just a typical. It's funny. I don't know if you've seen any of him throw, but it feels like he's been there for years. And this is a rookie we're talking about.
I mean,
he's been embedded in that system pretty quickly. And that could be just Bill.
He's looking as the weeks go on. And what's this? Five on England. He's looking very, very comfortable. To say the least, in that offense, the way that they're doing things, the way that they're, like I said, sharing the wealth around, but also being in the play action game as well, where they're getting the run game involved. Once you start to scare your opponent in going run heavy, then you can do that play action type passing game, and you can start to get your receivers involved then.
They have a real shot of winning the AFC, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Because
we're going on to the next, they really do. They really have a shot of winning the AFC. I mean, look at the next game. The Colts demoralized the Bills. My God.
I said it. Said it last week. Surprise, surprise, that the Bills beat up on a bad team. And when they come into, they come into a team here. that is coming into a little bit of form and is going to just bash you up front with loads of Jonathan Taylor, and if you can't handle any more Jonathan Taylor, then we're going to give you some more Jonathan Taylor and try and stop him.
Yeah, he was nothing short of amazing in this game. 32 carries, 185 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Every single touchdown that was scored by Indianapolis was by Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he got that receiving one too, didn't he? That's right. Oh my God, 5 touchdowns. I think he got a 50 burger in fantasy points, which is, your Kamala.
Yeah, I think so. Pretty sure it's 50, 51 or 52. Yeah. So that definitely helped me along the way to the road to success. In fantasy, somebody laying a 50 burger.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what else the team does.
He had 2 touchdowns in the first quarter.
That's it. You honestly just sum this whole game up in that one sentence of Buffalo come up against a half decent side, and we don't know what Buffalo's. Buffalo are now behind New England.
That's cost them the number one seed in the AFC. That's cost them the number one, the top seed in the division. That they really, really need to smarten up and smarten up quick, because this season for them, not so much it could slip away, but they at the start of the season, they would have been very much looking at a very high seed. In the AFC playoff picture, and it's not looking like that's going to happen. Like they'll be fighting for a wild card spot.
That AFC East has just lit up a little bit. I thought it was going to be one of the worst ones that Buffalo were going to run away, but Miami, we'll talk about them later. But that, even New York, for a little bit of a pinch at 3-8, that's a lot better than I thought they would be. That AFC East is pretty red hot, considering. I didn't think it was going to be like this. There was nothing in this Bills game at all. Stephon Diggs was completely shut down. Four receptions for 23 yards, and then they don't really have a run game as well. So that's probably the other thing about this team. They don't have a run game.
That was the thing too. Like the Bills, even on special teams. Isaiah McKenzie, the punt returner, had a fumble. It was recovered by the Colts, and three plays later, Jonathan Taylor goes in for another rushing touchdown in the second quarter, and you're just good God, they punished everything.
Yeah, they did. They punished absolutely everything.
Here's Jonathan Taylor. We're getting really good offensive line play. We're opening up gaps for arguably the best running back in the league at the moment. And you stop him, because Carson Wentz didn't need to do anything in this game. 11 for 20.
He didn't have to do anything. This is a little bit of a Tennessee type situation, but it was just until he got injured, it was like Derrick Henry, just try to stop Derrick Henry, because that's all you're going to be able to do. And if you can, you can. And they can't stop Jonathan Taylor. He's not massive. He's 5'10", I think. His cutting is, well, we call it stepping here. I hate when they say cutting, but you know,
it's just funny to hear, because that's just not what you think about when you say, a cutback or anything of that. But just his footwork is really good.
It's rare for it, you know, especially even in the league, to have a left foot and a right foot step. But he's got both.
That's right.
It's amazing. Look, the Ravens, you know, beat the Bears. It was an ugly sort of game. You know, Tyler Huntley played his first sort of full game, got sacked 6 times.
He got to his credit, he got up dusted it off and just kept going. It took Baltimore long enough to sort of get into this game.
Yeah.
And it really sort of took, I guess, that it will. Justin Fields got hurt. I think he did. And it was fairly innocuous too. Like, he just sort of fell to the ground. Like, nobody sort of landed on him hard or anything like that. But he went off. He's got rib issues. I think it's sort of come out that he's got crack ribs. So, you know, that's not terrific. It was just really bizarre that just the way that he sort of fell.
It was fairly innocuous.
You know, face first, really. And nobody really landed on him or anything. And it's just like, he's in a lot of trouble. And they bring Andy Dalton in, and straight up, he goes 2 for 2 with a 60-yard bomb to Darnell Mooney for a touchdown. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, all right, that's sort of come out of nowhere. I think that was in the third quarter, and that sort of sparked the Ravens to really get back into this game.
Yeah. Then I think they started shifting it a little bit wider. As well, because Mark Andrews started to get some yards, but I think it was, they did enough to get, you know, one of the best kickers of all time, Justin Tucker. You know, he was just absolutely perfect again. You know, one extra point.
So what
point
you got to do?
Three field goals.
You just got to get Deadeye Tucker.
He got over half of their points, just to put it in perspective. You know, and he is Deadeye. Right. He is absolutely. I don't remember seeing, you know, the only one that ever pops into my mind in terms of kickers is always Vinatieri.
Adam Vinatieri, yeah, that's right.
But I think
longevity, well, now that's Matt Prater at the moment, like, for a bit of longevity, but
I think this guy's better. Accurate and
that's right.
100% better. So yeah, the ugly win puts them in sort of, like, I guess, good stead. They sneak. Well, they stay just above in that AFC North. Another sort of, you know, across the board, there's a few wins in that one as well in the AFC North. You know, Baltimore, Bengals, Cleveland.
That's right. And whether Huntley is a serviceable backup. Serviceable. Yeah, he's not lighting the world on fire. I don't think he's going to do what, like, a Tyler Henneke or anything. Oh, sorry, Taylor Henneke.
He can run the ball, but it looked like it needed to run. Like, the offense, line didn't help him. So
no, but he kept. That's what I mean. He kept his cool though in that final drive. He kept his cool, and that's what I mean. Like that he did what he needed to do. You know, Andy Dalton, you know, sort of come out in this game and. I think it was a 4th and 11 that second touchdown that he threw to Goodwin.
Yeah,
and I think that was a bomb as well. I think that was like 45 yards or something like that. It was like 4th and 11. They were in big trouble, and you know, that sort of tied the game up. And like I said, you know, we need his Deadeye Tucker to get within range, and Tyler Huntley He's very serviceable for Baltimore, and he's played a couple of times now, especially coming off last year where Lamar Jackson sort of been he was crook a little bit, and Huntley stepped in, and did the same in this game and got Baltimore, I guess, a win that they sort of need to make sure that they're keeping pace with the rest of the top teams in the AFC. And giving them a good chance to win the division, which is that division again. It's a bloodbath.
Oh, it's a bloodbath. Exactly. He looks like
it's unreal.
He looks like he's 40 years old when he takes the helmet off. Like he's just been sweating, like you know, just massively. He's only 23, but he just looks like he looks 40 when he takes that helmet off. Like, oh Jesus Christ! I have to go. I don't know. He looks so much older than he is when he takes the helmet off. Oh, it's hilarious. The ugly Browns beating the ugly Lions.
Oh my God, Tim Boyle, get out of my life!
Oh,
good God, that was just. And look, yeah, DeAndre Swift did what he needed to do. I thought it was funny the way that they'd sort of set up. I think they'd set it up for Jarvis Landry in the Wildcat. Took the snap.
Yeah,
I think it was in the. I think it was it in the second quarter. I think took the direct snap. Got flushed out of the pocket, and went, oh, no, the hell with this. I'm just going to run straight up the guts and ran for 16 yards and scored a touchdown. And you're just like, what am I watching here?
Oh well, this was a high far of a game. I mean, you already stepped on my dud. Tim Boyle was just atrocious. He only threw 23 times, but he totaled a massive 77 yards. He didn't get sacked to his credit, which is pretty good. You know, considering how ferocious our Browns team is, you know, so that's pretty good. But that's it. Can't give him anything else.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to sort of write home about this. You know, what's Cleveland, you know, I know all you got to do is get the win. God. You know, Baker is beat up.
Yeah.
He is so beat up at the moment. He's wearing that shoulder sort of sling on his left arm. You know, he's got the torn labrum. He's got a crack in his collarbone or his shoulder. He's now got a leg issue. I think he's got a groin issue. He's just being taped together with duct tape and thrown out there because he's trying to get a contract.
When I looked at that, I think it was one or two games. Carson Palmer? Who's their backup? Is it Carson Palmer?
Oh, Case Keenum.
Case Keenum, sorry. He looked better.
Carson Palmer?
Yeah, whoops. Yeah, well, good point.
Didn't he take the St. Louis Rams? The St. Louis Rams or Arizona Cardinals to a Super Bowl?
Yeah,
I think it might have been the Arizona Cardinals.
Maybe a few years ago. Yeah, Case looked better with that team. Look, he just did.
It's just because he's not hurt.
Well, that's beside the point.
It's the self-preservation factor. Like, you can go out there all you want. You can't tell me that, you know, not looking at the end of the year schedule. And go, oh man, I've only got this many games to go because he's getting thrashed.
I don't. I mean, I just again, don't please don't pay him. Please don't pay him. That's just
someone
just
will.
Don't.
But it's oh my God, he's just being ripped to shreds.
He is.
I mean, if the Browns make the playoffs, like what sort of shape is he? What sort of shape is he going to be in by the end of the season?
Yeah, that's there. Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know.
They just barely beat Tim freaking Boyle.
Yeah, yeah, mate. They're gonna ruin my multi. I'm telling you right now, they're gonna ruin my multi. I'm sick of the Browns. I'm sick of anyone that follows the Browns. You know who you are. let's move on.
Delusional Browns fans.
The Texans beating the Titans. 22-13. Good God.
That's a total stunner, an absolute stunner. Besides the fact that Tannehill had to throw 52 times, which is not a good recipe for them at the moment. And besides the fact that he throws four interceptions because he's constantly trying to chase the game.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. Like, he's got a beat up AJ Brown. They tried to sort of lean on Adrian Peterson a little bit in the run game. It was just that was as big a disaster as it can be for Tennessee, especially at home.
Because if you look at it, you already hit the nail on the head. Because if you look at it, Tyrod Taylor didn't really, you know, for I guess that sort of scoreline, and when you're looking, it didn't really. He only threw 107 yards total. And the run game wasn't that well. But the reason they were able to get down to where they were to get 10 points out of Fairburn was from those four interceptions and a fumble and then a lot and lot of penalties.
They just got ruined penalty-wise.
That's the only reason they were there. That's the reason why he was able to get three field goals and an extra point, because of that reason. The run game was 83 yards. We just mentioned the passing game was 107 yards, so it wasn't like anything.
Tyrod Taylor scored two touchdowns with his legs.
Yeah, he did.
Like, you can't have that happen.
Yeah. No, you called it. Like, they're going to – I just don't like
what they're dishing up at the moment. Like, you know, it's taken them a couple of weeks to sort of, you know, to realize the value. And we all know what the value of Derrick Henry is, but they've been relying on him. But it's just like, well, now our bell cow's gone. We've got to try and do this with some beat up receivers. Like, Julio Jones is not the man that he used to be. He hasn't been there.
And AJ Brown got beat up in this game, and he got injured in this game. So, like, I honestly still think they'll win the division. I honestly think they'll still win the division. But
I think they are in big, big trouble.
I think at two games, I don't know, one or two games ahead. I don't know. I don't know if the Colts. I don't know if they'll smash the Bills. So who knows? Yeah, I don't know.
What
I still think
the Colts have
got
to do is stay away from the disaster plays that Carson Wentz has in him.
Yeah.
And now they've got to revert to a similar game plan to what the Titans have been doing all year. They know they've got a running back who is in hot form. They've got a good front five.
Yeah, they do.
They've got the deep threat, you know, and a good receiving threat still in Michael Pittman. If T.Y. Hilton comes back and can be any sort of semblance as what he used to be. Look, he's 32. So you just need him to be serviceable. Yeah. You need him to be able to catch the balls that he should be. You don't need Carson Wentz to be doing a whole lot.
No, I
think that's got to be the same sort of recipe that they dish up. And I really think the Titans are in a lot of trouble.
Miami, three wins in a row now, and two is actually starting to look pretty good. I thought
he is an interesting sort of fact that I sort of found out at this. He's the most hurried quarterback in the league, so he's the one getting the most pressure on him. While he's not getting sacked the most in the league, he's being put under pressure the most in the league, and that's really hard to get any sort of semblance of a deep threat or a deep game to bring in the likes of Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that.
Yeah. It is, but.
And look, a heavy dose of one of the smallest running backs I've ever seen getting around in Myles Gaskin is not really helping things. But look, it is the Jets. I really don't know how this is possible, but you know, Joe Flacco, who's like 3 years younger than Ben Roethlisberger, but he looks older and moves slower. I don't know how that's possible. Like slow mo Joe. Like we call Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
Slow mo Joe. This is slow mo Joe. Their offense was in slow motion. The Jets.
I will say for the Jets at least that I like their youth going forward. You know, Zach Wilson's injured, but I like Michael Carter. I really like Elijah Moore. That's
they
a
do,
great
yeah. They have there. Yeah, they have some really, they have some really nice pickup. Pieces there on offense.
Both the Williams boys on defense is they're monsters. Quinnen Williams is always getting a sack.
He is, good God.
And Quincy Williams in the corner, yeah, is just yeah, he's a tackle machine. But so I do like. I mean, yeah, I know we're saying.
You know, look, and CJ Mosley there as well. Like, you know, he's a really good sort of mop up player. So that's, I mean, they do have the young building blocks there. So look, you know, while they still only have two wins, you want to say that the future does look a little bit bright, especially offensively.
I honestly think it does. I just think we need to work out what Zach Wilson is going to be. That's probably the biggest thing.
No, and that's the thing. So they don't have the worst defense out there, but it's not the best. If you can even up time of possession, and you know, give your defense a little bit of rest,
yeah,
then I think they'll be a lot more effective. But you know, in this, and while you know Joe Flacco was again serviceable, that's the word of the day, serviceable. they really need to get Zach Wilson back. Like Elijah Moore had, you know, Elijah Moore blew up, had 141 yards receiving.
Yeah,
crazy.
He was nice. He was good. He was good. I skipped over a game, so my apologies, because it was a great game. The Vikings beat the Pack, going in order, I'm sorry. The Vikings beating the Packs by 34-31. This to me was like the Kirk Cousins when Justin Jefferson's open and he knows how to get open very, very well, just throw him the goddamn ball, and that's what he did. He knows how to get open, that kid. He really does.
Oh, he gets unbelievable separation. He's a good route runner, but he's got speed. He's got good hands.
Yeah.
You know, and it helps too by having a legitimate, you know, number one opposite him in Adam Thielen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, it does, because then their whole team. Well, you said this last week, but
offensively, it's not the problem.
Yeah, and defense
still. Still, Kirk Cousins has only thrown two interceptions on the year.
Defense, they have a good defense. It's just higgledy piggledy. I think that's what you were sort of like alluding to. Like it shows up when it shows up. Like they still let Packers in, really, at the end of the day. Like, you know, Rodgers threw 385 yards in a losing effort, just to put that in perspective. So
that's right. And look, they didn't have Aaron Jones either, so they tried to rely heavily on AJ Dillon, but they didn't really have a whole lot of sort of run game to speak of. You know, look, 200 yard receivers in Valdez Scantling and Devontae Adams. It was a really, really, you know, offensive masterclass. It was just a batshit crazy final few minutes.
Final few minutes,
just holy mackerel. Like, Did you see? I think it was in the first half where Rodgers, I think he's in the red zone, and he's just about to look over at the bench, and he's gone like this to try and call a timeout, and the center snapped the ball. And he's had to go, boom, straight away, grab the ball. And it's just like, oh, no, that's cool. Oh, look, there's Devontae Adams. He's open in the end zone. Boom. throws a TD to Devontae Adams. You're just like, good. Who is this man?
You see it on slow-mo.
He's just about to look over to the bench and call timeout because the play clock was at like two.
And all of
a sudden the ball snapped and it's like, uh-oh. And it's panic stations. No, it's not panic stations. It's 7 points.
you're right. That was absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, well, I mean, like, that's just Aaron Rodgers.
But the Justin Jefferson, all within the last, like, 4 minutes or so, it was the Justin Jefferson touchdown. The Packers get the ball back. It takes one play for them to tie the game up. Green Bay, and you're just like, oh my God, the cousin on the, like, one of the best sort of situational, like we said, situational / final 5 minute quarterbacks in Kirk Cousins. He throws a brutal interception.
Yeah.
It's caught very low to the ground and it's overturned. So the interception's been negated because the constant pursuit for perfection in the NFL, and there's the tiniest little bit of bobble as it goes to the ground, the ball moves around a little bit, and it's negated, and that basically that's a killed total game, get out of jail free card.
It was, but you can see, I thought the reverse call was a good call personally.
But
that's just the way it is.
It was. That's what I mean. When you slow it down and you dissect, it's like the NRL. When you slow it down and dissect it frame by frame by frame, you can come up with any reason to, give a try or no try. This is the same situation. You can give it any sort of reason. The ball, he hasn't got full control of it. The ball sort of shifts around in his hands. It's just like, oh, my God, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a freaking duck. Like, if he's caught it, he's caught it. Like,
I didn't expect that 75-yard bomb by Rodgers to go to Valdes-Scantling, of all people.
That's a mean one play.
One play, I know. One play. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God. And it's just like, what? Why? Like, now.
And he's as old as all these guys, too. So,
it's
like,
essentially roles reversed. It's like, did the Vikings leave too much time for Aaron Rodgers? And it's like, no, I'm just going to do it in one play. And then it's flipped on its head. It's like, now did the Packers leave too much time for Kirk Cousins? Clearly they did.
Your Saints were beaten by the Eagles is what I should have said. Apologies.
And rather badly.
Rather badly. Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts, again, like, serviceable, a little bit enough. I mean, 13 for 24 is probably not really serviceable at all, actually. 147 yards and 3 sacks, but he knows how to use those legs.
No, that's right. And that was the thing. Like, and New Orleans defense has not been up to their usual high standard over the last few weeks. And they sort of, one thing they definitely pride themselves on is, is stopping the run. They couldn't stop anything.
No, they couldn't stop Miles Sanders. Returning Miles Sanders.
Jalen Hurts. Yeah, Sanders nearly had. And see, that's I've talked about this before. The last time that they brought had a 100-yard rusher was against Philadelphia, and it wasn't just one; it was two.
Yeah,
and one of them was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
It's like the Saints have got Tom Brady's number with the Bucs in the regular season. And it just looks like the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts have got the Saints number.
Got the Saints number. Yeah. Yeah.
It's unbelievable what they did.
Yeah. Cause their passing game again wasn't, doesn't need to be. It was negated pretty much. So your secondary was pretty good. Like it repelled a lot, but then on the flip side, your passing game is probably not Simeon's fault.
It's brutal.
He looks like he tries Simeon, but what's there to throw to is the question. Nothing.
No, that's right. It's Adam Trautman. It's Tre'Quan Smith. It's Marquez Callaway.
Mark Ingram's your running back. So
that's right. No Alvin Kamara. Very, very much greatly fear that the season with Kamara doesn't come back is very much slipping away from the Saints, who have all the promise in the world to start the season. 5-5 now, really sort of messing up these opportunities to keep at least Tampa in their sights for a division win, and to a lesser extent, I guess a wild card spot. The passing game doesn't get going until the fourth quarter. It's unbelievable. Like it just looks brutal for three quarters, and then all of a sudden, once Philadelphia were up like I think they were up like 33-7 or something ridiculous like that, and then all of a sudden, the Saints put on 22 points in the final quarter and actually make it a little bit of a game, just a little bit. But Jalen Hurts once again hurt him with his legs, no pun intended. Three touchdowns, all three touchdowns for for Philadelphia, offensively anyway. And it just doesn't look very nice. You know, Simeon threw an absolutely shocking pick six as they're trying to chase the game. Like I said, when the fourth quarter comes around, then you know, once the game's shot and dead and buried, the opposition defense might lay off a little bit, and they seem to be able to take advantage of that. But very, very poor outing by the Saints, and very, very flattering scoreline for them to even be putting up 29 points.
The Panthers, they went down to Washington football team. It just came across to me. I don't know if the Cam Newton Christian McCaffrey partnership works well, because Cam, you know, they've got enough weapons there. Cam needs to use his arm, but he's just a running guy. So what do you do? He used his arm, you know, when he needed to, but clearly not enough. Clearly.
I mean, not really. Like, you want the offense goes through Christian McCaffrey. Like, it doesn't go through
Cam Newton
as much as he would like to think that it might go through Cam Newton, but it goes through Christian McCaffrey. So, yeah, between those two, they had 10 rushes each. A lot of design plays for Newton. Which is what they've got to do. McCaffrey had 7 catches, so you know they're using him in the pass game, which is what they need to do. But when you're throwing 27 times and you're not getting 200 yards, like that's not terrific. He threw for a couple of touchdowns and ran for one, so it's whether you want to say this is on Cam. Carolina's defense has really regressed over the last couple of weeks. They were keeping them in games, midway through the season while Darnold was an absolute, you know, dumpster fire. But even that now has really started to drop off.
Yeah, because they had a great defense and it has dropped off a little bit. So you are right there.
That's right. And you know, and Washington. Again, got the job done. Needed to do with what they weapons. Had. Like, yeah, Terry McLaurin, man, he is. God damn, he's so good.
Yeah, they're both their weapons, and Antonio Gibson had a good, decent game too. He had to do 19 carries to get 100 yards, but they're your weapons. So, and Taylor knows how to use his weapons. So it was. You're right. I mean, I do like, you know, McLaurin. I just think if on a different team, man, he would be special personally.
I mean, look, you know, and Henneke is doing an admirable job in keeping this team afloat. They're 4-6. Yeah, they're not totally out of the division at the moment. Well, not totally out of the division, but you know, not totally out of any sort of wild card ramifications or anything. The McLaurin is just clutch, and that touchdown that he scored right on halftime sort of make it 14-14. Was big for them, and no more bigger play than Washington on defense and, you know, Carolina basically chasing the game, you know, down 6. And I think it was a 4th-and-3 or a 4th-and-4. Newton got stuffed. There was like 3 minutes to go, and they tried to just do a draw play. Newton got stuffed, tried to pass the ball, gone. And that was basically it. Like, you know, Washington came up with the big defensive play that they needed.
No, they did. They really did. And then look, they're in the same division, so I'm not the biggest fan of them. But they're like the Washington to me a team like I don't overly hate. I mean, this is comparing to the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants in the same division. I don't mind if. Anybody's going to win over the Cowboys, I don't want to be in Washington. I don't know why. I just have a little bit of a soft spot for him. And I think it's because of McLaurin. I agree with you.
Right.
He just looks amazing. He looks amazing.
No, that's right. Exactly. He's something special there.
Yeah. He really is. Look, the Niners beat the Jags, and it was 30-10, and I guess it was convincing, but it just didn't seem it. I don't know. It felt ugly. I don't know about you. The run game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This was not very aesthetically pleasing to the eye. It probably never is when Jacksonville's involved. But
I just find it hilarious that like Debo wasn't really used in the passing game. But let's give him the ball in the rushing game and see what he can do.
That's right. He's used in the run game.
It was said he was good.
Look at him, Jared, to me. Jimmy G didn't even have to do much in this game. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a couple of really poor fumbles and lost fumbles by Jacksonville. You know, Tavon Austin and Chenault both had lost fumbles in this game. Fred Warner is always good defensively for San Francisco. Look, they're starting to make a little bit of a run at the moment at 5-5, and in a tough division.
They're starting to be disruptive. Sort of,
If they can get all their get all their ducks in a row and get the defense playing well, Jimmy G doing enough to get them wins. Get that rush game happening, and that's a run game by committee. And now, especially they've added, Debo Samuel into the running back. I don't know if he's going into practice and going into the running. Is he going into the running backs team meetings, or is he going into the wide receiver team meetings? I don't know what's going on.
Maybe he's going into both. Maybe he wants to be McCaffrey. Maybe he just wants to be a hybrid player and just have everything run through him. But
he looks like he's durable enough to sort of take the hits as a running back. I'm sure he doesn't want to do that, but
no, I don't think so. It was a bit of a return game for AU, getting a touchdown, 85 yards. They're both young. You're right. Like if they can get them, if Jimmy G serves them enough and can use those two plus your George Kittles, they can be disruptive. They have the team.
No, that's right. It was really funny to sort of start that game off too. Was like a 13-minute, 20-play drive for 3 points.
For 3 points, yeah.
49ers. Oh. And Jacksonville, like I think it might have been going into the second, like midway through the second quarter. They'd had four offensive plays, and the fourth one was a fumble.
Yeah.
So they were just starved of the ball. It's just a matter of if they can get maybe an even share of possession, but they're just not good up front. Like, Trevor Lawrence is scampering all over the place a lot, which is not really sort of his game. He was kept fairly clean at Clemson. This is a real test for the number one overall pick for this year.
Oh, and he and again, I was looking through these picks. When I mentioned Pitts, I think you have to still take him at number one. With everything.
Oh,
going
absolutely.
On.
He's still okay. Yeah, no, that's right. Like all the redraft sort of stuff, and Mac Jones should have went. That's all well and good, but hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? Like you don't know, and the NFL. Don't. The NFL is a little bit more sort of volatile through the draft like that, because you can find gems later on in
of course you can.
In the draft. So
Of course you can. The Bengals beating the Raiders, this was just a Joe Mixon run-a-thon, this game. Oh, there was other little bits, but Joe Mixon was awesome in this game.
Mixon masterclass. He's rather impressive as well, and I've said before if that boy can stay healthy,
that's the
he's one of the best backs in the league.
Yeah. It was always his health that sort of held him back. Like he's only 25.
He's been pretty good this year. Like
he's
I think he might
good.
Have only
yeah.
missed one game this year.
He's
so
been
far.
Pretty consistent this year.
Yeah.
And which is what they needed. They really, they did need that, because I think Sam and Jay Perrion is not really a running back too by committee, if you really want to look at it that way.
No.
So,
well, they really have nobody else there as a surefire running back.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
And so they don't really want to run him into the ground either.
No, no, no. Like, they, well, 30 carries looks, but that's the first. I mean, that's the first standout for me. For him doing 30 carries in a while, I don't think we've mentioned him with that many carries before in the previous week. So I don't think they are really running him into the ground. You know, we know when you got your receiving core, you know, in Boyd and Chase and Higgins, you know, so I don't think they really are. Burrow does like to fling it when he needs to. He was accurate. He right. Had down the 200,
he didn't
he was
really have to do it in this game.
No, not at all. No, yeah. Definitely not.
No. The scary part of about this is look, Cincinnati sort of put Vegas away towards the end, but the Raiders are not getting off to the best of starts in games. Like this year, I think all year they're being outscored by like 31 points in the first quarter. So they're under the pump from the get go. You know, as games are going on, so that's not great. And, you know, sort of, I guess the nail in the coffin was the one and only interception thrown by Derek Carr as he's trying to chase this game. And it basically turns into a Joe Mixon touchdown. His second of the day. So, it was, and look, Vegas was close. It was, they were only 13-6 down going into the fourth quarter.
Right. Yeah. It was just, they turned it on in the fourth quarter, the Bengals. You're right.
Yeah, that's right, and they really pulled away when they needed to.
Another massive game by Darren Waller. Like, that is all they've got on that team in terms of
it is at the moment.
Yeah, even in the run game's poor. You know, even with both Jacobs and Drake there, their run game's very poor. So, well, they'll still hover as well. They're not totally out of it either. They're not totally out of it at all at any stretch of the imagination.
No, that's right. Look, you know, 5-4. No. And once again, you know, another bloodbath of a division. So,
so many close. Like, theoretically, you could, you know, except for your certain teams like Detroit and Texans and a couple of them. Theoretically, you could technically say, and the Jets. But that's what I mean. Usually, you'd cross off
both
half
New York
them,
teams.
You could say way over half of these teams are still have a chance, which is weird to say. At this time.
No, that's right. And you know, like we said, the cliche of, you know, anybody can win on their day and you don't take any opponent lightly, you know, even if they are, you know, someone like Jacksonville or the Giants or, you know, one of these, the Texans.
Yeah,
like you absolutely would have thought that Tennessee just would have railroaded the Texans. But, you know, they come out and they did what they had to do to get the W, and it was, yeah, it's that's you got to be on your game every week. You know, it's the old boring cliche, but you know, they like to say over there that it's a long season. Kind of is. Yep. 17 games. Like, it's really not a long season at all.
No. There's just so much press about it. It feels like it's forever. So.
No, that's right. That's every game, absolutely every game, it's a pressure cooker.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's,
that's
every
that's
game
why.
Counts.
Yeah.
You cannot afford to drop easy games.
The next game with the Cowboys going down the Chiefs, this wasn't like, you know, offensive masterclass by Mahomes or anything. This was just a Chris Jones smash fest. I'll get to Dak any way I can. That's who won in the game. Chris Jones and their defense won in the game.
Absolutely.
Chris Jones was
3.5 sacks. He was after.
You could see him every time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was coming out of nowhere. And our offensive line, which has been okay, just couldn't hold him out. Literally, they really couldn't hold him out.
Well, that's mean. Just one of those games that where, you know, the O line plays poorly and that really hurts. Like, it's one of those that they couldn't really sort of get any kind of run game, really. Like, you know, Zeke and Pollard only had 82 combined rushing yards.
Well, both you look at both camps. Both camps weren't, you know, Edwards-Helaire got 63, but both camps receiving and rushing weren't, you know, lining the world. You know, considering the two teams that they are, weren't lighting the world on fire. This was just Chris Jones and the defense. And even on our side, our defense, you know, was has how it has been, you know, this year. This is another Micah Parsons, You know, well, that boy.
Two sacks, didn't he?
Yeah, he got two sacks. Yeah, yeah. That boy is just he's
impressive.
I think he's on track to break like the rookie, you know, sack season record or whatever that of all time. I think I read.
I think he's already got the all time Dallas Cowboys sack.
He's got the all time Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, 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 for a rookie. So yeah, he's on the track.
And
to
there's
get
still
the
there's still plenty of games to go. Left,
so. But that's what I'm saying. This was just a defensive masterclass. There wasn't much in this game. I mean, it was gripping, but it was gripping because it was so close.
And look, you know, the Dallas's struggles were not only contained, you know, to not having Amari Cooper there, but you know, also CeeDee Lamb went down with a concussion as well, so he wasn't there for most. I think it was most of the second half. So that didn't really help. Look, Tyron Smith wasn't there either. You know, the left tackle for the Cowboys. Right. So, you know, that blind side for Dak, you know, he had a really awful fumble, which led to a TD. Three of their first five possessions, the Cowboys were three and outs. Kansas City has really sort of stepped up their game defensively, and that's sort of starting to show on the other side of the ball now.
You're right. Having Tyron Smith there for his blind side he's been the Cowboys linchpin in general. But that's why Chris Jones was able to get to him so well. And that, you know, it's a short term. We're not going to have, you know, CD going down is going to be extremely crucial in a short week. And we're not going to have Amari won't be there next week because of the Thanksgiving as well. They both probably won't be there.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The Cowboys have got a Thanksgiving Day game. The Saints have got a Thanksgiving Day game.
We're in massive trouble in that game. I'm very scared against the Vegas Raiders.
Against the Raiders this coming week. So, they've just got to grit their teeth and they've got to try and go back to, you know, I guess some way of trying to get the rush game back into. Look, they had so many easy drops in this game. Yeah. Like Dak was not helped out by, you know, his secondary receivers, like some of the drops that the Cowboys, I think it was Cedric Wilson. Man, a couple of wide open easy drops, and it's like, boy, you are not helping this cause at all.
No, he wasn't. No, yeah, you're right. And they're gonna have to do. They're gonna have to try and turn it around in this small turnaround
quickly
on Thursday because I don't know if they're
going.
Oh my God, I'm so scared of that game. That I think it's gonna put us on a scare, but it's gonna get at least probably the Red Hot Eagles at the moment pretty close. So, I think with the next game, I think writing teams off, I'm writing the Seahawks off. I think I wrote them off last week, but they're definitely done after this game.
Yeah, no, they're done. Yeah, they're done.
They're done. You can't win against
Colt McCoy. I think the partnership.
Done. See ya.
No, exactly. Especially Colt McCoy that throws 44 times. Like, what the hell?
It was pretty good. He was pretty good, I thought. He was pretty good.
I mean, look, yeah, he's bounced around the league a bit. He's been around for a while now. He's a grizzly backup veteran. So, you know, he stepped in
for
Kyler Murray again.
D-Hop again as well.
And got the job done. Look, he was 14 to 16 for the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It, you know, you're right. I think you were going to say at the start, I think this partnership between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson's probably done. It's hard to say.
I think it's just about run its course. If they sort of, especially if they miss the playoffs, which is very much looking like it's on the cards, unless they can turn it around very quickly at 3-7, they have no. Well, not so much they don't have no home field advantage at the more anymore, but they've only won one game out of five at home, and that's to me like the 12th man there at Seattle. Yeah. Like that was the most impossible, you know, one of the loudest stadiums to go into and play. You know, Kansas City is loud, the Superdome in New Orleans is loud, but the 12th man in Seattle, was crazy and They've just totally fallen off the wagon. Like, I don't know what is going on there.
I don't know. I mean, it looks like DK Metcalf has had one of the poorest seasons this year. I'll probably rub his expectations.
Look, expectations for him, especially after the season that he had, can it be replicated? And Russell Wilson, this is his second week back now from the finger injury. Excuses are going to start to run out.
Oh, of course. Of course they are.
Look, and they don't have their number one running back there in Chris Carson. Like, he's done for the season. This neck injury has sort of, he's been on the IR the last 3 weeks. And now they basically come out and said that, yeah, he has to have season ending surgery. So he's done for the year, and their running back, their running back room is much to be desired.
Oh, well, what running back room? That's the thing.
There's nothing. Back? Yeah, that's right. There's nothing. There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing there. I didn't expect it to be a fun game. But this next game, the Chargers and Steelers, was goddamn so fun to watch.
This game was great. I reckon this was the best game of the week.
Easily. Like, there's no two ways about it. It was easily the best game of the week. It was awesome.
And the thing was, too, like, it wasn't just, Herbert playing well with his arm. He was killing Pittsburgh with his legs.
Yeah. Yeah,
he looked like a really good running quarterback. Like, yeah, 9 rushes for 90 yards. Like, he was killing him first down with his legs. They were flushing him out of the pocket, and the Pittsburgh defense has been good. Like, they're really missing T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick, but they were still getting enough pressure, through the Chargers front five to actually get to Justin Herbert. They just had nothing in their secondary to try and stop him with his legs. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's. That whole fourth quarter just blew me away. Like,
the fourth quarter was insane.
It just blew. It was absolutely insane. It was like, forget the defense. Let's just see who can win with, in the air and along the ground. That's what it's going to end up being.
No, that's right. And look, they Pittsburgh, they needed a big defensive play, and they came up with one, with a block punt, and that got Najee Harris a touchdown, not long after that. So that sort of sparked them into gear. As the Chargers were trying to sort of go blow for blow, so to speak, in that fourth quarter, but they just couldn't contain, what Pittsburgh were doing. They just, the Steelers would not go away.
No, that's,
and look,
that's...
Cam Haywood up front, he was monstrous. Like, yeah, in stature and the way that he played the game, like, holy mackerel. Like, he is a big dude.
He is a big dude. Yeah, he's a massive dude. Both kickers were awesome as well. The extra points and the field goals in Boswell and in Hopkins was just unbelievable. God, like, it was just... That fourth quarter just went like, what the hell was happening? It was like blow for blow for blow, and then it just like, yeah, it was like, they charged a sort of, Steelers blinked.
Pittsburgh took the lead.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. And I began to write down everything that the NBC, stats and info was sort of throwing at me. So all time, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and obviously, we know the result that the Chargers won, but the Pittsburgh Steelers were 0-230 when being down by 17 plus in the fourth quarter. And they nearly pulled this one out of the fire.
I went 230. My God. Wow. That's awesome.
And, it just would have been, typical LA Chargers to lose, another close game. They've had since 2011, that was another one that they threw out. Since 2011, they've had 32 losses when they've led at some point in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they haven't been able to close out games for a decade.
No, they haven't. Yeah. But this is the kind of team. I think I just like Justin Herbert. I do like this team. They'll be in definite wild card contention, you would think. Definite
how,
wild card.
How did Mike Williams get so open on that final touchdown?
I don't know.
Just a massive blown coverage, and it's just like, oh, hang on a minute. Oh, there goes Mike Williams, just one of the best deep threats in the game, and he's just gonna, you know, just run his way for 53 yards and a touchdown. It's just like, how?
I'm telling you what, if a TJ Watt was there, they probably don't win this game, to be completely honest.
And Mika Fitzpatrick, like, they are sorely missing linebackers.
Those two in there, they win this game. I honestly think those two in there, they win.
Absolutely.
Mika would have been all over Williams or Allen, but yeah, just, Herbert would have got terrorized by Watt.
No, that's right. Exactly. It was just kind of funny the way that the game ended too. Like it, yeah, back to back sacks, you know, on Ben Roethlisberger, then a delay of game, and then it ended up being like a 4th and 32. Yeah, you know, as Big Ben's trying to muster up some sort of comeback in the fourth quarter. And yeah, it was an incompletion on 4th and 32, that basically killed the game. But it just that. With I think there was only like, I think it was sort of like a minute 20 left, and they tried to muster up, you know, some sort of comeback there, but just unfortunately just fell short. But yeah, just an absolutely, you know, super fun game to
watch. And the final game was the Tuesday's game, the Bucks beating the Giants 30-10.
If the Giants, you're a Giants fan, this is not a super fun game to watch.
No, I mean, they
barely had 100 yards of total offense in the first half.
Talk about draft picks. Like do they regrettably rue the Saquon Barkley number two pick? Because he was number two.
Look, I mean,
he's had really
when a talent like that comes along. Like, yeah, he was unbelievable at Penn State.
And he had one good season and that's it.
His rookie season, and that's it, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And look, and that's once again, hindsight's 2020.
This is all hindsight. I understand that,
not hurt, then you know, then they're a lot better. If you know Gettleman, the GM there at the Giants, seemed to think he saw something in Daniel Jones and traded up. He can't miss prospect. And Daniel Jones, I need to trade up to get him. And he just, while he's been okay throughout the start of the season, the last few weeks, again, he's turned back to his disastrous ways.
Yeah. Yeah, he has.
They did so well to only be down 7 at halftime, the Giants.
Yeah, they did. Like, I mean, you know, in reality, so I'm looking at who was available in that pretty terrible 2018 draft. In reality, there wasn't much chop going when Baker was first, Saquon was second, and Sam Darnold was third. So that was a pretty poor, you know, Josh Allen was in there. He's probably the best one, obviously, at 7.
No, but that's
it's all hindsight,
thing.
You put
Josh Allen on a poor team. Does he turn into the Josh Allen of what he is today?
Good point. It's possible. You're right. That's possible. But Daniel Jones has reverted to his old ways. He won't get picked. They won't pick him up for the fifth year option. That's not happening.
I mean, I don't think so. They're going to have to let him sort of play out and do, I guess, Baker Mayfield and try and play for a contract. They're not going to pick up that option. And then what happens next year if he's the same? I think the sample size here is big enough.
Yeah. The whole point of the way, you know, it wasn't even just a draft, but the way they assembled this team this year was here's all the weapons. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's
got
that,
no protection. But the thing is, at least he's cut the fumbles out. Like he had some of the worst hands for a quarterback.
Over his
3 year career. But he still throws those disaster interceptions. Like that second INT that he threw, I don't even know what the hell he was looking at. They're down 14. I get it. Like they're trying to chase the game a little bit, but he throws it across his body as he sort of is looking, I think it might have been I think it might have been Kadarius Toney that he was trying to target. He wasn't anywhere near where the ball was thrown.
No.
There was not a receiver in sight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Exactly right. It's like, yeah. what is that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah, it was, but this is just his game, I think. I think he just has these weird little, just weird little quirks in his game is probably the best way to put it.
Well, I don't know if it's lack of concentration or if he's just not the kind of quarterback that can be flushed out of the pocket and can be put under a whole lot of pressure like that, because he gets flustered. He gets flat. He doesn't know when to throw the ball away. That is a big, big hole in his game.
Yeah.
Is not knowing when to just throw it away instead of trying to make the hero play, which he hasn't really been able to do his whole career.
He reminds me of, I don't know if you play, but when I watch people play Madden, and they all go, they don't know when to throw the ball away, because you can on that game, and they go for the hero play. That is literally...
No, that's right, exactly.
He is a video game. It looks like that. It's crazy.
Well, that's a product of Patrick Mahomes.
Well, this is true. Tom Brady, you know, he threw 307 yards, but he didn't, even after throwing 46 times, he still didn't look tired, which is just mind-boggling. Just to throw that in there. Mind-boggling.
No, it's unbelievable. Like, he's
unbelievable.
He's like, Father Time is undefeated, but boy, he is giving him an absolute run for his money.
Oh, 100%. Of course he is
giving him a run for his money.
So I've already, we may as well start with Dart of the Week. And I mean, I mentioned it halfway through, but yeah, you know, Tim Boyle, I don't think I'm going to see you again in my lifetime.
Well, I don't know. If Jared Goff doesn't look like he's healthy enough to play on Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
You could be seeing Tim Boyle on your screens again on Thanksgiving, which will be.
I can't believe I want to see Jared Goff over Tim Boyle. But anyway,
I think everybody would want to see Jared Goff over Tim Boyle.
Who is your dad?
I mean, like I mentioned before, like just the New York Giants as a collective, like it's just they've got the highest
Falcons
percentage
that,
of their
Falcons
points.
That far behind them either, by the way.
No, oh yeah, no, they don't worry, they're there or thereabouts. They've got the highest percentage of points by field goal in the league, so that just means that they're not getting those red zone getting to those red zone areas and not being able to capitalize once they're in there.
Yeah.
So the Giants are 3-6. That is their best start to a season since 2016. Best start, 3-6.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
So that's their best
start.
That's
the best that they've done through 9 weeks, 10 weeks.
So that's their best of the season under Daniel Jones, then. That's another glaring thing. Under Daniel Jones.
They're looking up, aren't they? They haven't scored 30 points in 21 straight games.
Now,
they have come out and they've fired your boy, the former Dallas Cowboys.
My boy. Thank you.
So they fired Jason Garrett, and now Freddie Kitchens looks like he's going to call plays.
That was, that was a shrewd move by us to get rid of him, to be completely honest. I think ours this year, our move of the year, among other things, our move of the year was Dan Quinn, getting him as the defensive coordinator. That's been
absolutely
a little bit of a stroke of genius. Considering he could regress big time after that, you know, pitiful Falcons season. But he's gone back to defensive coordinator because that's what he knows, and he's killing. He's a big reason why our defense is so much way better than last year, 200%.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, is it hard not to pick the start of the week again? I picked him last week, and he trumped last week.
it's pretty easy when you score 5 touchdowns.
Jonathan Taylor, you know, it's not going to happen.
Pretty easy.
But goddamn, you know, he I know his odds got shortened after this game in the MVP race. It's not going to happen, but it got shortened.
It's not going to happen, but people will be piling money on it because the odds would be so juicy.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course it would be juicy.
No, that's right. So 8 straight weeks now he scored a touchdown, and 8 straight weeks now he's had 100-plus yards from scrimmage.
Yep.
So, look, arguably,
well, that's the
you
thing.
Take him off this team, and what are the Colts?
But then you could say the other side, like with the Bucks, you know, their record speaks for itself because you take Tom Brady on this team when Tom Brady wasn't there when they got here, and they're not, you know, they're not a 7-3 team, if you know what I mean. They're not.
No, that's right. Well, Jameis Winston was a 30-30 player, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. So.
Oh, 30 for 30, cool.
I think they've made a significant upgrade.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course they have. So who is sitting MVP race here? So it's still Brady, but it's a healthy $4. And Taylor's at a juicy $17.
Oh.
That is juicy.
I mean, you could still take that. Like, you know, you wouldn't be putting your money at the moment on Josh Allen. There hasn't been a Kyler Murray sighting in 3 weeks. So
no, he's pushed back a little bit. You know, is it Aaron Rodgers' flyer to out of the realms of impossibility?
No, absolutely not. He could go back to back, absolutely.
$8.50. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. Their record's good too, is good as well, or as good if not better. I think is it better than the Bucks? I can't remember because they just keep winning.
I think they might be the same. I think they're both at 7-3.
Yeah, they haven't had their bye yet. No, well, they haven't had their bye yet, the Packers, so 8-3. So, yeah, wow.
I think their bye must be coming up in a couple of weeks because Rodgers dealing with a bit of a toe injury. So I think they'll be they're really hanging out to get through next week's. Who have they got next week? I'm just trying to think who they've got next week if the internet wants to play the game. They got the Rams next week, so that's gonna be a doozy.
Nice tasty game. They love these
that'll
tasty
be, that'll
games.
Be a doozy. So I guess and I'm pretty sure they got the bye after that, so they'll be looking for him to sort of limp through, so to speak. Just to sort, you know, he's got that. I think is it a pinky toe or is his big toe? I think he sort of come out this week and said it's COVID toe, but I'm not sure if that's an actual thing.
I remember him putting it all the way up to the microphones and the camera.
I'm pretty sure he did that. Was it on the Pat McAfee show? I think he tried to stick it through the camera.
Jesus Christ. The dude's just on his own level. I love it. I love it and I hate it. Anyway. any news to finish up on?
I guess
pretty poor week.
Yeah, we go to two places, I think. I think it's worth noting that Denver secured up a couple of wide receivers.
Yeah.
In Tim Patrick on a what's he got? I think he's on a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
And they shored up Cortland Sutton as well on a 4-year deal. I think it's like $61 million and
it's about 38
guaranteed.
Yeah, just over 60 and 38 guaranteed, which is good. Like, they're both still young, those two. Tim Patrick's was only 10 to 13 million, so that wasn't overly.
No,
you know,
that's
spending
right.
Spending up all the money. That's just.
They haven't overpaid for him.
That's just to me is shoring up offensive weapons for something to come in. That's what it looks like to me.
I mean, yeah, that's right. It's trying to make their receiving core look attractive for maybe somebody who's in the Great White Northwest there to say, hey, maybe you should come down to the Rocky Mountains and you know, we've got a nice, decent receiving core here. Interesting to.
I think what's his name's parents are from there too. I read that the other day. His pop star wife. Ciara Wilson. I think her parents are from Denver, if I remember reading.
That's quite interesting. So that's quite interesting to find out. Just one last little nugget before we get go. Did Matt Nagy, the coach of the Chicago Bears, who Once again, lost this week, I guess. Again, a little bit of a heartbreaker, but I think the people of Chicago have spoken. Did you? I don't know if you've seen a whole lot or heard a whole lot about this. The crowd at the United Center for the Chicago Bulls were getting a bit of a fire Nagy chant. And then just a couple of days later, at AEW Dynamite, the fire Nagy chants begin to rain out throughout the crowd as well. So I think the people of Chicago have spoken. The one thing that I did, I think I did hear that right throughout the week, that the owners of the Chicago Bears, who their name escapes me at the moment, I think they're a very family sort of owned team.
Yeah, they're not a I'm just looking at that now, but I believe it is a family owned, because they're not overly I don't think it's overly, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think it's a profitable, like they don't have a lot of money. It's probably the best way to put it.
NFL owner, that'll be the day. apparently they've never fired a coach. I'm comparing
it to the other ones. So
true. But apparently they've never fired a coach mid-season, and they're one of the oldest teams. Well, they are one. Literally like one of the oldest teams in American football. Fired a coach mid-season. That seems bizarre that could even happen.
Well, no, well maybe. I mean, look, I'm just looking at the owner was born. The owner, the current owner, Virginia McCasey, was born in 1923. So she's 98 and owns the team.
Actually, yeah, that does ring a bell now. I'm pretty sure I've seen her up in the owner's box, yeah, enjoying a maybe a wine spritzer or something like that, as she's watching her Chicago Bears get demoralized every week.
So that means they've literally only had two owners in that entire lifetime, because then her father owned it, the Bears coach and owner, George Halas, who left it to his daughter when he passed in 1983. So
that's crazy.
Jesus, wow. Like, you know, I haven't delved into her, but I don't know if she's got, by the looks of it, yeah, she's basking off her father's money, because there's not much here that she's made her money out of anything except for inheritance, literally inheritance.
Well, that's exactly the same as the Saints owner Gail Benson. She inherited everything off Tom.
But you're right. But Benson.
She inherited two teams though. She inherited the Saints and the Pelicans.
He made his money, so yeah, you're right.
But oh yeah, he was a car dealership, and a real estate mogul.
Yeah,
he's got his own skyscraper right next to the Superdome, Benson Tower. Like when I went over to America and went to a Pelicans game and walked down Benson Avenue, which is past the Superdome.
He probably pours so much money into that city.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got like a 20 floor high rise next to it with Benson Tower written on the side of it. So
nice.
he wasn't hard up for any cash.
That's flexing some big money when you can do that. I love it. That's so good. Oh, that's awesome. But you know, getting away from what you said, I think that's going to keep happening. I don't think they fire him mid-season. They won't fire him mid-season.
I don't think so. Like I think they're going to ride it out until the end of the season, and then hopefully, look, they've got right idea and the right quarterback there in Justin Fields. They just need a little bit of patience, bit of roster building.
If they don't win this week, this Thanksgiving week against the Detroit Lions, then maybe Nagy goes from that.
Oh my God, heads will roll, but oh boy.
No, he'd have to. That would be an unforgivable on a Thanksgiving traditional Detroit versus Chicago game for them to lose. That'd have to be a heads roll, but we'll see what happens. We will see, because it's coming up to a short week. That is us done.
We're on a short week, I think it's the Lions and the Bears, the Cowboys and the Raiders, and the Saints and the Bills on on Friday for us. So, you know, all three Thanksgiving games all on TV. I think they're all on ESPN as well.
Both of our teams are playing Thursday, and both of our teams are playing scary opponents.
Yeah, maybe not so much yourself for the Raiders, but yeah, I think the Saints are going to be pretty ordinary against the Bills, just quietly. I don't think they're going to have a very nice outing. Apparently they're having a welcome, well, not a welcome back, but you know, a Drew Brees appreciation sort of ceremony at halftime at the Superdome. So hopefully that might sort of rally the Saints, but it's trending in the direction that Alvin Kamara doesn't play this week, and it very much looks
short
like
week.
That. That's right, and it very much looks like the Mark Ingram's not going to play either, so they're going to have absolutely zero run game against the Bills. So,
but Tony Jones, isn't it? Tony Jones will be their starting running back.
And Montgomery as well. Ty Montgomery will probably get a lot of snaps, so that's not looking good. So, but optimism, please.
Yeah, I was optimistic as our team without CD Lamb and Murray Cooper. Yeah, sure.
And especially coming off.
We do have a better quarterback, so I will give it.
Well, and coming off, you know, one of your worst performances of the year offensively, so that's, you can only look up.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, you can only look up.
Well, that will do it now for this week of NFL. As always, socials are Facebook and Twitter at Final Play Pod. Facebook, where you can see all the links for all our, well, among other things, but all our links and our latest breaking news all on our Facebook page. I mean, there's a couple other pages we're on too, and you know, for our pods too. Go ahead, shout them out. We're all over Facebook now that I really think about it.
No, that's what I mean. We're on gimco.com.au. You can get all our podcasts on there. We're in the community tab on that website, so you can check us out there. All of our podcasts are on there. Support those guys as well. You know, get onto Eureka Sports Cards on Facebook. So you know, they're always appreciative of what they do for us. So you know, there's always big shout outs to Mojo King and Dom. For letting us do what we do. We're on a couple of extra Facebook pages as well. We're on an NFL tipping Facebook page and a Facebook page called Darren's Tips. So check him out as well. He's based in New Zealand, but he does a lot of New Zealand horse racing and Australian horse racing. Yeah. So yeah, check him out there as well. There's a free service and a paid premium service as well. So check that out. But always appreciative of those guys that give us a little bit of leeway in what we do. So you know, we're always there to support each other. So it's that's what social media is all about.
Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. I'm gonna say it, Drew Brees appreciation Smith.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I do. I mean, always had a soft spot for Drew Brees. Always did. Look, he was just a guy, unfortunately, in an era of Tom Brady. Otherwise, he's in a different era.
Tom Brady and an Aaron Rodgers and it's
just the era. He's in a different era. He still is.
He's sitting second, all time in a shit ton of categories behind Tom Brady. You know, passing yards, touchdowns. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks that's ever been around. And granted, over the last few years of his career, his arm went limp. And more limp as the seasons went on. But he still had a cash cow on Michael Thomas. So that sort of and especially Alvin Kamara, like, you know, that really sort of revitalized the last few years of his career. Not the most mobile quarterback, but goddamn, he was accurate.
Yeah, he was extremely accurate. Very, very accurate.
Fit the ball into windows that you wouldn't, just normal mortal quarterbacks couldn't do. So it's a real, you know, he's working for NBC now, so he's got his post NFL career underway, you know, a la Troy Aikman and Tony Romo sort of getting into the broadcast booth. So it'll be interesting. I'm pretty sure that he's actually on the broadcast for the Saints Bills game with Mike Tirico. So that's an actual NBC broadcasted game. So it'll be interesting, and it'll be good to sort of hear him in the booth and see if he's like a Nostradamus, like Tony Romo is, because
I love
so much listening to Tony Romo and how
him
and Jim Nantz, how he just he sees stuff just in a different way. It's a really good perspective on you know, and all those broadcast teams that have all got ex players in there as well. But it just seems like that road, he can see what's coming before it's coming.
Yeah And you know, for how I guess lackluster a little bit, like, you know, I could say it wasn't lackluster, but I could see, I mean, you just from what he does in the commentary booth, you could see why Jerry Jones loved him, because he's extremely knowledgeable in reading a play like that. Yeah, it's mind-boggling. It's awesome watching, to be honest. So
it's sad that he only had what, like, three playoff wins in his career.
Yeah. But that's
Well, they were the perpetual 8-8 team. Under Jason Garrett.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, yeah. No, we've said Jason Garrett twice now. We don't need to say him anymore.
We don't need to go back there again. So I'll be Miles, no need to mention Jason Garrett anymore, Plum.
please, no, that's three times. So have a good week, everyone. Don't say his name again.
Yeah, no, we won't. Yeah, he is. He's a what's a, was it from Harry Potter, Voldemort? So we'll he who shall not be mentioned. So we'll we just won't. He'll get another gig. Don't worry about that.
Of course he will.
He'll get another gig.
Go to the Chiefs or the Lions. Go to the Lions.
Go to the Lions.
See you, everyone.
See ya.